is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com.
That's right. It is all about you and what your thoughts are and whatever you want to discuss here in our Open Lines program. 360-676-5464 is our phone number. And we always count on you to carry the day. So hopefully you'll join us and inspire our conversation. Once again, 360-676-5464. I ended the show yesterday just talking about sky's falling reactions to different initiatives, whether they be laws or government initiatives, what have you. And was lambasted by some for, climate change. You say the sky's falling over climate change all the time. Well, I don't really say that. I think it's something that we should be concerned about. We should be actively working to counter if we can. And I guess that, might be a big if. We pumped a lot of carbon into the atmosphere over the last century and a half or whatever. But do what we can to make to enhance or preserve the livability of our planet. I think we need to do that. When you start saying the world is ending, life is ending as we know it, then you just run around in a panic and nothing constructive is done. When it comes to water or adjudication, it's kind of a done deal. I don't know that the steamroller is going to be stopped. So how do you do your best to not get squished by it? Isn't that where we should be at this point? Just seems to me. But just some thoughts as we get rolling today. And as always, we want to hear from you, 360-676-5464. Whatever issue is consuming you today or just kind of bugging you. Let's get rolling with our friend Jim in Seattle. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joe. I was planning to keep it lighter, but I think I won't because it's important. Okay. As Chris Hedges said, I mentioned that yesterday, he tells the truth. And that's what I think we know, even if it's an awful truth or a difficult truth to get over. But it has to do with two things that are very similar. I'll try to get to both, but I'll probably have to wait on and do it tomorrow, the second half. Norman Finkelstein, I mentioned him yesterday. This is right. Both things have to do with nuclear war, which in days gone by, I actually worked for SANE, which was a group that was a committee for a SANE nuclear policy. That doesn't necessarily mean that much, but I thought I'd add it. Norman Finkelstein, he's well known on the internet, but he's never on. That's one thing he said on this podcast with Glenn Greenwald, who you may have heard of. He's been a little more prominent on both left and right and kind of libertarian type of person. So they had a tete-a-tete, if you want to call it that. And so he says Israel is preparing to escalate the war with Iran. They, the Zionists, and most Israelis in the leadership, definitely are lunatics planning to nuke Iran. So this is Norman Finkelstein talking, and he thinks it's a terrible thing, but this is his judgment. His family was part of the Holocaust. Some died, some survived. So he's a pretty strong expert on Israel and Gaza. He wrote a book called Gaza, An Inquest into Martyrdom. That was before this October 7th. So he thinks they're planning, and they're lunatics, he calls them. And he says lunatics, also a possibility, is like the United States in the 80s want to appear crazy. So it can scare scare U.S. away from not participating along and helping Israel, and also to scare the enemies, many of them that there are, from resisting, to try to control, I think it was stated that well about Ronald Reagan, that he wanted to appear unstable or something, or just off the wall, because it would be, a boxer who throws wild punches,
Saddam Hussein even made a comment to that effect when, after his capture, And he was asked, why didn't he, you know, just open up his country? Why didn't he just say, hey, I don't have any of these weapons of mass destruction. Come and look, you know, leave no stone unturned. And he said, I wanted to leave some doubt and some worry and some fear in the minds of those who would attack me. So, so that's not crazy. I mean, there is that. Right. I think that's a component of some international relations, unfortunately. I'm so nuts, you don't know what I'm going to do.
Yes, and there's a similar, I won't do it now because I think I will let other callers call it. This guy is Eric Zuess, Z-U-E-S-S-E. It's Dissident Voice. It's linked on the bottom of it to the Duran, which is a website I've never heard of. But it's very important. I'll just give you a tease here, as they say in the business, that United States is, according to him, and there's other evidence for that, that we're planning to basically conquer and dominate the world, even at risk of nuclear war. So I'll let you go, and you can look that up on Eric Zuess, Dissident Voice, April 17th, and there's a link to the bottom. So if there's more to say tomorrow, then I'll bring it up. But these are serious things. You know, it's not like we can just sleepwalk through everything. And so I thought I'd bring that up. So thanks for letting me on.
All right, Jim. You betcha.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too. All right. Well, I'm sure we are doing what we can to, I mean, not us as individuals, but there's always the gears turning in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere about how we can maintain our dominance in over the world and maintain our superpower status. And no end to that in any short term, that's for sure. Rich in Ferndale joins us. Hi, Rich.
How's it going today, Joe?
Doing all right. Doing all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad. It's another warm day. And, you know, I was thinking about climate change. It's a done deal, and there's nothing we can do about it. And it's going to happen, and we have to adapt or die. We can try to do this or try to do that. The weather's going to do what it's doing. So we probably shouldn't worry about it or fret about it or make people's lives miserable over it and just go well. Kind of like adjudication. It's a done deal. Just let it go.
Well, I tend to agree with you that it is pretty much a done deal. What we've done so far and what we're going to be doing in the short term is going to affect the climate. The change is already underway. It's already happening. And
change has been happening for thousands of years.
Not at this rate, though, Rich.
Look at the ice age. How long ago was the ice age?
Scientifically shown that the warming of the planet that's occurred during since the dawn of the industrial age has been unprecedented, and it is because of human activity. And now we can,
speculations and theories.
No, they're not. They're measurable
by the government.
The effect of the greenhouse gases we pump into the atmosphere is measurable in a laboratory. It can be calculated.
And it comes out of the bottom of the ocean too, and that's part of the measurement. But we don't take that into calculation.
Well, certainly we do.
The sulfur gases that boil up, but we don't know how much is ours and how much is coming out of the bottom of the ocean. We just know the difference between now and 150 years ago.
Okay.
But we're assuming it's all people, so it's not a done deal.
We put billions of tons of carbon into the atmosphere every year. And I'm talking about human beings. And
sure we do.
And so you don't think that would have an effect on our planet, on the climate?
It does, Joe.
Okay.
But is it bad?
I mean,
can you tell me why it's bad? There's good and bad to everything, Joe.
Sure. I mean, there are some areas that will warm and be quite pleasant, but areas that right now are quite pleasant will be scorched, and we won't have an Arctic. We won't have an Antarctic as we know it.
Look at California.
We won't have
California the last 2 years.
Right,
look what happened there.
Right. Yeah.
Cooling and rain. Record rain over 40-year time period since the 80s.
Yeah, but the long term is for massive drought in the Southwest and really a drying up of the major water source, which is the Colorado River.
Increasing. And they're increasing for the first time in 20 some years. I just read an article.
Well, yeah,
the last
for,
two years has
for
had record
over
rain.
A couple of years. And this is a long term building thing, Rich. And just
right,
the idea, the idea, but see, why are you, why are you and so many people just enamored with the idea that we keep this ancient, what is really now at this point, ancient technology. I mean, the car,
let me just say,
the car that I drive to work every day, the vehicles you likely drive, these are based on ancient technology. I mean, you've got eight cylinders, there's little explosions going on, there's a zillion moving parts, there's friction galore. These engines, for all the wonderment that and all the power that they deliver, they're like 20% efficient. No, I mean, it's a waste. I'm just telling you, I'll give you a chance. It's a waste of energy. It's a complete waste of energy. Most of what we burn out of our gas tanks is just gone into the ether.
Yeah, well, let me know when you're ready for me to answer the question. Then I'll
go ahead. Go ahead. Talk.
So what's happening, Joe, is you're enamored with existential climate change. You say I'm enamored with old things. I'm looking at the whole picture, Joe.
Okay.
Back 1,000 years to the Ice Age. You are looking at the last 200 years, you're ignoring, Joe. You're ignoring the last 2 years in California. Blatant ignorance. I mentioned it. You won't even consider it. The fact is, what they have said is completely wrong in California, Joe. Look at the last 2 years. Is it in your face? Wrong, wrong, wrong. It should never have happened.
So there's no drought. There's nothing that's going to. California is all perfect again.
Right now.
Right.
The last 2 years, there is no drought. That is a fact.
Rich, this isn't a conversation. Joe, this is just devolved into ridiculousness. We're not communicating here, Rich.
Are you telling me there's Joe? Are you telling me there's a drought right now in California? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that the long term prospect for that entire region is overwhelming drought. Hey, yes, and
it may or may not be true, but I need you to agree with me on something. Is there a drought right now in California?
No, as far as I know, the current conditions are not for drought. But Rich, on the flip side of that is we're in a drought. We're in a drought emergency here in our rainy Northwest.
Correct.
What's
happening on the forecast this next few days? Did you see the forecast for the next few days?
Oh, Rich, it's not days. It's not days. It's not a couple of years. Okay, like I said, our conversation is not one. It's just devolved into craziness here and not just your fault. Well, I'll take some of the blame, but we're not getting anywhere here, Rich. So we'll continue our discussion some other time. But before we take a break, let's go to Don over in Port. Don, call me back. I pushed the wrong button and I disconnected you. So give us a call back. Don in Port Angeles has some thoughts on this topic too. So we'll get him on the line. We'll take a quick break. Be back with more. And whatever's on your mind, we want to hear from you here on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Whatcom Intergenerational High School is the only tuition-free public charter high school in Whatcom County available to Washington State residents.
They provide a unique learning experience where students co-create their classroom experience, enabling them to pursue their passions, think critically, and learn to solve real-world problems. Students participate in phenomenon-based learning with hands-on experiences like serving meals to the unhoused, raising salmon from eggs and releasing them, invasive plant removal and support for the Whatcom Humane Society.
They also include community elders, providing education, support, and a connection for students. Together, students and their elder allies are connecting and changing the world for the better.
Looking for an educational connection where students co-create their classroom experience with meaningful relationships and a sense of belonging? Find out what makes Whatcom Intergenerational High School uniquely different online at wihs.school. Book your tour today. Space is limited. Enroll your student now.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand. You could be one word away from a chance to win $1,000.
That's right. Just listen each weekday to KGMI for the keyword during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours.
Then go to the Grand in Your Hand contest page at mybellinghamnow.com before midnight and enter each keyword for your chance to win $1,000.
We'll have four keywords each weekday so you can increase your chances of winning by entering all four every day we play the contest.
You already listen to KGMI for the latest local news and discussion of the latest issues. Now you can win $1,000 while you do it.
A Grand in Your Hand is brought to you on KGMI by Niederhaus of Luxury, Whatcom County's newest fine jewelry store, next to Lombardi's on Bellwether Way.
A Grand in Your Hand is back on KGMI.
Get details at mybellinghamnow.com.
Staying connected with your community each Saturday at noon with KGMI's Community Connection as local business leaders share their expert advice. Sponsored by
Lighthouse Mission Ministries, Dewey Griffin Subaru, Feller Heating and Air Conditioning, Contact Counseling, and Guided Solutions.
Community Connection, Saturdays at noon on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
And now we got Don in Port Angeles on the line, and I won't cut you off, Don. Sorry about that.
That's okay, Joe. On the water adjudication thing.
Okay.
I think if you look at it, break it down, it's about dividing the pie and who has ownership in parts of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about making the pie bigger.
Right.
And that's... making the pie bigger is what America is all about.
But when you have something that's not controlled by humans, such as the availability of water, the size of the pie is set, is it not?
No.
Okay.
Dams, reservoirs, salination, desalination, you know, whatever. It would all be moot if we just went back to the way we used to be and got things done. Because it's there, we can do it. But they're saying, no, stop everything. You know, we're gonna do this, and it's going to pit you against your neighbor, against the government, against whatever. And it's wrong.
Well, but the way things are now, it does prompt some of these pit neighbor against neighbor or... and there's no hard and fast system as to, you know, as to how the disparities or misuse of a resource is dealt with in this case, water.
You can go to court if you think your water right is better than your neighbor's. That's the way it's always been done.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any of that going on that I know of. I may be wrong. I'm not up to speed on all of it.
But if someone decides they're going to have a farm, they're going to have a small farm, they bought some property, they're just going to water the heck out of it. They're going to raise a water intensive crop like I guess almonds for one. I just pulled that off the top of my head because I understand that almonds take a lot of water, and I don't know if they'd ever grow in this climate. But just for argument's sake. Say somebody wants to do that, and they just start pumping the water. They don't have any written water right, and they just start using the water, and all of a sudden wells down the line start to dry up. Then those individuals have to hire up a lawyer. They got to go through the whole legal process. They have to sue that person and try to get their water back. Or, you know, I mean, this is a process that would help eliminate those conflicts.
When I see those kind of conflicts, then maybe that's time to do something like that. But I don't see it. And I think people would be, you know, jumping on the neighbor who tried to do that. It wouldn't float very long.
Right. But like you say, though, the recourse that they would have would be to take, you know, legal action, to take civil action, I guess, rather.
Sure.
You know,
so now they have to all take legal action against the state, appears.
Well, they have to. It is a legal process. The state is taking the legal action, I guess you could say, against water users, although it's not the typical lawsuit in that it's, filed in anger isn't the right term, but it's filed to get this whole process ironed out. But I guess you're saying that this, to you, this looks like a fix that's waiting for a problem. Is that right?
Not sure about that analysis, but
okay.
It's you know, just another shortage that they want you to worry about because, you know, there's too many people. We're polluting the air. That's the other topic I wanted to talk about, but I'll wait on that one. It's all this, you know, you can't do this because these are the consequences, but they're the ones that are creating the issue. Yeah, I guess that fish analogy we referred to. Let us fix it. We're from the government. We're here to help you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all I have on the,
okay,
the water. But we have desalination, we have dams, we have reservoirs, you know, and we know they work. Yeah. With the Three Gorges Dam in China, have you heard about that?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're not sitting on their fanny.
No, but
whose water rights or whose? Yeah.
Well,
the government there is actually giving them water.
Well, exactly. But that's talk about a one-party system that doesn't have to worry about answering to anybody. It can really do whatever the heck it wants, and I don't think we want that.
But this was
democratically elected representatives to the legislature who decided that this was something that these were steps that needed to be taken in different parts of the state.
But this is what we're dealing with. Our democratic elected representatives are not doing right by us. I think doing right would be to build dams and reservoirs, maybe down the line desalination.
All right. Okay, Don. Well, thanks. Appreciate your call.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. You bet. Let's go to Eric in Ferndale. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Joe. I think, were you talking yesterday about the various conspiracy theories and people buying into them and Chicken Little, sky is falling and stuff?
No, I guess not so much conspiracy theories. I guess this idea that... because you see these, you know, every time an initiative is taken, it seems, or to one degree or another, there are these predictions, the sky's falling. It's, the end of the world as we know it. And things are, life will never be the same, never be as good because of what's being done by the government in most cases. But I don't know.
So,
what are your thoughts?
Well, you seem to be taking that stance with the whole climate change thing.
Well, I believe that it's an issue that needs to be dealt with. I've told Jim, our caller, who is really concerned about it and calls it. I don't know that it's a climate crisis, but I think it's something that's important for us to deal with. I mean, and the word crisis, I think, is one of the most overused in the English language anyway. But I think it's something that we need to deal with. We need to transition how we power our lives. And I just think that makes sense, not just for the climate, but for us economically and in many other ways. But
first I'll say not everybody believes it's an existential crisis like, you know, a lot of people, you know, not everybody's on the same page as far as that. I mean, most everybody will agree that the climate's changing. I think we can agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not everybody is on the same page as to how much of an effect that, you know, whether or not man-made cause is the main driver of it.
Uh-huh.
So that's, you know... That's up for debate yet, I think.
Well, that's for certain, obviously. There are a good number of people that think it's hogwash, and I think it's unfortunate that that the whole issue has been so politicized. I've often said that if anybody other than Al Gore had introduced this as a top-of-mind issue, that it wouldn't be as political as it is, but that's happened.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know that it's necessarily political either. I think that there's some people then that are not politically driven, but that are not on the same page as a bigger crisis as some people think it is. And I don't know that, you know, changing, getting away from gas-powered vehicles, do you think that's going to solve the problem?
It's not going to solve it. It's going to be a big step toward it, but not by any means will it solve it, no. And there's nothing, no one thing, there's no silver bullet for any of this. It's just a matter of us over time changing how we, like I said, how we power our lives primarily. And eventually, but as I said to Rich, I think that, it's baked into the cake. We're going to see continued warming. Anybody who says anything about it says it's already begun, the overall warming. And I'm not talking about a couple of days or a couple of years, that sort of thing. But the climate has begun, has been changing and pretty drastically. And so it's going to continue down that road, whether
right. Maybe in the past, it's cold in the past, right? So it goes, it fluctuates, and most of all the predictions or whatever that people are saying that it's going to continue to get hot or change or whatever, those are all just kind of like guesses or computer models, best case speculation, right? There's no cut and dried science that says absolutely this is what's going to happen.
They've proven to be pretty accurate. I mean, the models that were put together a couple of decades ago, that stuff's already happening. I mean, as far as the melting ice sheets and the melting glaciers and then everything they've said, they're measuring is speeding up actually the effects. I guess there we have it. I would just say that I don't think it's chicken little on my part. I think it is on some people's parts. Obviously, there are those that would say the sky is falling over climate change. But
well, you and Rich were going at it there. You sounded like you're pretty worked up over it. So
I was trying to communicate with them, and it wasn't working. So we'll try again. Rich is a regular caller, so we'll continue our conversations. But thanks, Eric. I got to take a quick break. We got Robert, James, and John on the line, and we'll get to you too. 360-676-5464.
This is Steve Jostens from Hinton Chevrolet in Linden. Weather is heating up, and we want to make sure your vehicle doesn't. Schedule that pre-summer service checkup to make sure there are no surprises on the way to your children's sports. Score, baby, score.
Hinton Chevrolet, doing business with a tradition of trust since 1947. Located on the Guide in Linden, across from McDonald's, or online at hintonmotors.com.
Welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you. Did I just step into a Dreamliner?
Airport or Shuttle's new luxury motor coaches surprise even seasoned travelers.
Have to admit, I'm kind of blown away here.
Loads of legroom, LED ceiling lighting, tiered theater seating, and three-point seat belts. Save on fuel and parking. Enjoy a quieter, more productive, and swanky cool ride to SeaTac Airport. Visit airporter.com. Airporter.com and ride today.
You need a job? Go to HireMeWad.com. HireMeWad.com is Cascade Radio Group's hyperlocal job board. It's free and easy to use. Just go to HireMeWad.com for the latest job openings and offers. You can apply right there. HireMeWad.com is available 24 hours a day. Check back often. New jobs are posted frequently. Don't see what you want? Post your resume and let prospective employers find you. HireMeWad.com, the go-to job board for Northwest Washington. HireMeWA.com. Your new job awaits.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Harness the power of the sun, reduce your carbon footprint, and save on your energy bills. Explore the advantages of going solar with West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects. 360-676-5464.
Thanks for joining us here on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's go to John in Bellingham. Hi, John.
Hey, Joe. Hey, before I get to my point, you know, people are always giving you advice on changes to make to the show.
Okay.
So, chip in. I think the one problem with the show is the lack of women that call.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, apart from Michelle, and there's a couple of others that, you know, there's Ann out there and Sue Mass and one or two others that will call very rarely, but occasionally. I was thinking if you made a concerted attempt, and maybe through your website, or rather than women just calling up, because you know, you hear everybody's nervous, especially when at the start, is get them to express a desire to maybe call and maybe give them some priority to get on the air. And anyway, just a thought.
All right, sounds good.
I think the show would definitely be improved if there was a bit more of a variety in that one area.
Maybe I'll use your call here as I'll put it in a promo and run that. Say, hey.
Well, you know, whatever would work. I mean, I don't know how you'd do it, but I think, maybe there's just no women listening. Who knows? But I'm not sure.
They do. I like to think that they do. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. I called about the water process and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And before the decision was made to go the litigation route, most is my understanding. I'm just kind of have a. I live in Bellingham, and I'm not directly involved in. Like, I'm not a farmer. I'm not a politician. So whatever happens to everybody in Bellingham is going to happen to me, and I'm just going to assume it's not going to be that bad. But I've sort of listened to Ben. I've heard Dylan's show a few times, and so I'm going to come at it a bit from his perspective.
Okay.
But it seems to me that before the decision was made to go this kind of legal route, that just about everybody involved, the farmers, the various organizations, and plus all the cities, even Bellingham, as I understand, and most of all the small towns and the counties wanted to go the reconciliation route, which was, you know, like negotiation between all the interested parties. But the guest you had on the other day, she said that the Nooksack and Lummi tribes petitioned the state government, i.e. Jay Inslee, that they wanted the legal process, and that's where they went. So they sort of obviously favoring the tribes over all the other parties. And I think, you know, that tells me that the deck is already kind of stacked. It's forcing all of these, especially all these independent farmers, and no matter how reasonable your guest was trying to make it sound, I mean, they're going to have a long process with financial insecurity, not knowing what's going to happen, fairly significant legal bills. And I have a feeling, and again, this is something else I don't know, but I think the legal bills of the tribes are going to be extremely reasonable, i.e. zero, because I think the government, I'm just... Again, I don't know this to be true, but I bet the government's going to be paying for their lawyers.
Well, I don't know. That's pure speculation. I don't believe that's the case. I think those entities have to pay their own legal freight as well.
Maybe
the deck is stacked in their favor. I mean, the tribes do have the most senior water rights in the region.
Yeah. But why would they necessarily suffer if you went the reconciliation route? I mean, there's nothing that says that that's necessarily going to fight against them, but it would just be all the different parties negotiating. And maybe that wouldn't work, and then you could still go the litigation route.
Well, you're talking about a lot of parties. You're talking about thousands of parties and how you can get them all to go into it seems like it's a process, if it's going to be done, that it has to be done through the courts and in a legal sense that way. But I don't know, maybe that would have been an option. I don't know that the history of this whole process that well, but all right, John.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call. Let's see. I want to go. Let's go to Robert in Bellingham. Hi, Robert.
Hello. A while ago, I remember Rich was talking about how he thought there should be more private organizations that do some of the regulation or certifying things. And I thought there are a few, like Underwriters Laboratories has been pretty famous, that they will privately certify products.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought about that. And then I'm thinking about on the climate change issue, a lot of people complain about government regulation, but right now a lot of insurance companies, and they are private, they're raising their rates in certain areas that are being affected by climate change, like coastal areas in Florida that are going underwater, mm-hmm. and people who build in forested areas where fires are getting worse, and the insurance rates are going up. So even without the government, private enterprises getting worried about this also.
Yeah, well, and you just look at utilities now, that after what's happened in California with wildfires and utilities, they're facing these huge judgments, and so they're starting to, well, we're going to have to shut off power because the wind conditions or weather conditions or and the dryness of the countryside, of the vegetation is forcing us to take these steps. So It's going to affect all of us in coming years. And I mean, the cost, I saw something, the cost is going to be astronomical for dealing with climate change. And there would have been costs without any change in the climate caused by human activity, but the costs of dealing with it are going to be astronomical in coming decades. So that's a reality. It's just something, you know, we're going to have to pay the bill one way or another.
Yeah.
So the idea that taking steps to deal with climate change or to help to mitigate it is destroying the economy, I think is basically wrong. I think ultimately the you know, like you talk about, the loss of real estate, of coastal real estate, and that's just one aspect of it, but increased storms and what have you. I mean, we're talking about some really huge costs that will have to be borne by somebody.
Private sector is worried about that too. It isn't just the government. And some people say, don't worry, we had ice ages, but of course that was 10,000 years ago, and there weren't any cities, or, you know, there wasn't a city like Seattle that was worrying about. But in the next 50 years, if you have big forest fires and problems like that, we're here to worry about. One thing I thought is, as we... the transition can be a good thing, too, because somebody calls and talks about making the pie bigger. And you know, going to electric motors is a lot better than the, like you were talking about, the old gas engine that we've been using, internal combustion engine, for decades. And if we were to go to the electric motors, you know, that's a lot. That's a step up. So that's like because of better technology, making the pie bigger in a way, good for the economy. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm into bicycling, so that's a step up for me as far as my health and those kind of things are concerned. So there's a lot of factors there, quality of life, health, many factors. And I actually think we can do better if we're willing to accept change in technology, lifestyles, and so forth.
All right. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate your thoughts. Real quick, before we take a break, James in Bellingham has been holding. Oh, we lost James, but we've got Keith and Doug on the line. We'll get to them in just a moment here on KGMI Connects, and we'll have time to take your call too. 360-676-5464.
Hey, it's Les Schwab Tires. Right now, save up to $80 instantly, plus $50 with financing for a total of $130 off a set of four select tires. Our spring tire sale is a gift to say congrats, you made it through winter. Now you can swap out those winter tires for a fresher set at a lower price. Book an appointment online today. Les Schwab Tires, ranked number one by Forbes for customer service and auto repair and maintenance. Limited time offer while supplies last. Terms and conditions apply. See leschwab.com/sale for details.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
If you're looking for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance, we're Term Provider, experts in finding affordable term life insurance for those that may not be in perfect health. Prostate cancer, heart conditions, high cholesterol, or on prescription medications, you may still qualify for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance. Call Term Provider at 800-337-4168. 800-337-4168.
Take a voyage overseas this week with P&W Perks. Ready for authentic Indian food that tantalizes your senses? Step into tandoori bites. Dive into a menu brimming over with 100 unique dishes. From the fresh oven-baked naan and roti made right before your eyes to tender butter chicken. Their full bar features cocktails infused with fresh exotic fruits like guava and lychee, alongside a large selection of Indian beers and wines. And for those who prefer a celebration at home, Tandoori Bites offers full catering services, whether it's a cozy gathering or a grand event. They deliver the magic of Indian cuisine from 15 up to 1,500 guests. Of course, for those quiet nights in, takeout and delivery are just a phone call away. Every meal at Tandoori Bites is a masterpiece, waiting to transport you. Visit them today and taste a different place. Save big with P&W Perks and get a $50 gift certificate for just $25 Thursday at 8 a.m. only at pnwperks.com.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Got a bunch of callers here on the line. Let's get through them here. Let's go to Keith in over on Sandy Point. Hi, Keith.
Yeah, Sandy Point. Hi, it's that support man, Sandy Point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, although it's still pretty nice here. Okay, so my call's about kind of a topic of the day is climate change. First of all, I read about 100 news. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay. About 100 news articles every morning. I'm retired, so I get up, have coffee, go out on the deck, feed the squirrels, and read news for probably an hour and a half or so.
I was reading
an article here, I think, yesterday or Sunday. You know, this world, we've got a lot of smart people, a lot of brainiacs, and I'm glad we do because they're way smarter than I am. But these scientists got together, climate guys, and they said, now the sky's not falling. It's not as quick as we'd all like. But they said by 2050, they think we'll be back to where we were about 1980. Now, I don't know if that was good, but it's better than where we're at now. So we are making progress.
Okay.
So I think the mother of invention, necessity, is going to get us there. It may take longer than we'd like, but we're already seeing benefits from it.
You're talking about emissions carbon emissions overall.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know, and that's kind of where I've gotten to is that I think the changes we're making, they're coming slow, but they're. It seems to be the tempo is picking up. You see more people with solar panels on their roofs, and you see more electric vehicles, and it's going to become more mainstream.
It is, and I think if we can be an example to the world, the United States, which hopefully we will. I know Sweden does pretty well with their electric vehicles, but if we can just be an example, maybe China and India, they're the kind of the two biggest polluters, I think. It's just what I've noticed. But if we can get them on board, that would sure be a big step in the right direction. So maybe they can learn from us, and maybe they can figure out a way to make money at it, which would speed it up maybe a little more.
Yeah.
And now I read where they're going down the old fracking holes in a couple states, and these guys figured out how to go down about 1,200, 1,500 feet, and they're hitting the core's temperature. And it's nuclear thermal. And it heats water up, shoots up the pipe, turns generator. The water goes back to water. They pump it back down to the earth, gets warm again, and it's just a circle. And so it's expensive at this time, but that's something, you know, that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that I guess scares me about an electric car that people don't talk a lot about, the motors are great. That's good. The transmission's simple. I mean, everything seems pretty simple, but it's the batteries. I fly RC planes, and we use LiPo batteries, not much different than a Tesla, but just a whole lot smaller. instead of 7,000 cells, we only have 3, 4, 5, 6.
Uh-huh.
But they don't like water. They don't like cold. They need to be stored properly. You need to hopefully have them at a certain charging depth to make them last longer. And if I was to buy a used electric car, the first thing I'd ask is, how old's that battery?
Right.
What state's it in? Because they're expensive.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, and then the last thing, lastly but least. Now, Rich, I like a lot about what Rich says, but he's saying, well, California's getting the atmospheric rivers, and, you know, look at us, we're in a drought. Well, that's true. We're in El Nino right now. And they say about August, September, it's going to start switching to El Niña, which means we won't have 100 inches or 90 inches that we got this year at Mount Baker. We'll shoot back up maybe 500 inches, you know, because it's going to rain a lot this coming winter if I had to bet money on it. Uh-huh. And California's going to start drying out. That's El Niña. So that's the cycle of Earth's cycle.
Yeah, yeah. So, and they're saying that this La Niña, this transition to La Niña, will likely mean a hotter than normal summer for us and much of the United States. I was just reading that today. But, Keith, I really appreciate your call and your measured thoughts.
You. Okay, very good. Thank you,
Joe. Thanks a lot, yeah. And keep reading and letting us know what you're finding out there. Let's go to Doug in Birch Bay. Hi, Doug.
Hey, hi, Joe. Yeah, I'm just struck by the certainty you have in these people with regard to climate change. You know, they're not perfect, right? They may make mistakes, and so don't bet your farm on their projections. I think that the projections that Al Gore made in that movie Inconvenient Truth.
Uh-huh.
I don't think any of them panned out, did they?
Well, I think that, it's been a long time since I've seen that movie, and I can't remember a specific prediction from the movie itself, but the idea that our carbon emissions are increasing exponentially, that's pretty much played out.
Well, I mean, yeah, but we don't really know what's going to happen because of that, right? I mean, you're really...
Well, if you look at
you're buying into what these people are saying that's going to cause. I mean, you seem so certain of it. You know, it's a for sure thing. And I'm just not sure it's a for sure thing.
Okay. Well, and you're not alone. That's for sure. I appreciate it, Doug. I got other folks I want to get a chance to talk to here. Andrew and Anacortes is on the line. Hi, Andrew.
How you doing?
Good, good.
Just wanted to let you know about the sun and how it creates the heliosphere around our solar system.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, but this heliosphere is now moving into a part of the galaxy where more things are getting through it, causing our sun to change its dance. And our sun actually has been causing, according to the records we have from science, all the planets to heat up. So that's a very interesting thing to think about. Not saying we shouldn't ruin where we eat, shall I say? But let's also consider the fact that there's other sciences that the solar weather we don't think about much. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, Andrew. Thanks for that. And I had to look up the heliosphere, so I'll look into that a little bit more. But it is okay. Let's go to our friend Francis in the Southern Gulf Islands joins us. Hi, Francis. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Joe. Well, I've just been thinking about how all of the approaches that we are now employing to deal with climate change require huge amounts of plastic and the batteries, other, you know, things that are definitely not good for it. How is this making sense? Because you have to have a lot of oil to produce a lot of plastic. And we get, like, solar panels and things like that. And the medical, we couldn't have our medical systems if didn't employ plastic.
Right, so, but petroleum that's converted into a plastic is not I mean, I understand plastic is an issue we need to deal with too, as a species for sure. I mean,
metal, but you know, there are methods that precede that approach that aren't employed because they don't have the profit that you can make from the others. They're not the, for example, a solar tower that's it's concrete and you put it up in the middle of the desert where it's not bothering anything and it produces the motion through heat inversion. And then there's the tidal method also, which I have seen. There's a doctor that has a home, he owns the whole island. It's between here and San Juan Island.
Uh-huh.
And the caretaker took me with him one time out there to show me what he had going. His whole farm, it was a beautiful house, and the whole farm type, the thing that he had going there, was powered by the tides when it came under his house.
Wow.
This was before it got really, this was maybe 1970, really early 70s.
Wow.
So, but we don't employ these things because there's not the profit to be made out of the people that, you know, want to make the profit.
Well, that is an issue that holds back many of these developments. And then who's going to make those investments if it's not corporations that see a profit motive? Well, then if it's worthwhile, then government makes
a profit.
Well, then it takes the government, which is us taxpayers, to invest in it. And then those investments are
about continuing profit. Like when you get your
if they could figure out how to
utility bill, they have figured it out.
So how to make
things don't hear about them though. Everybody from the hippie days and stuff, the tidal thing was known and employed by individuals.
Well, that's a different scale than
that's
a different
solar towers. They require even less investment.
Okay.
It's a concrete tube that sits up in the desert. Does it mess up any agricultural land or any residential land? It just sits there, and the sun and heat inversion.
All right, Francis. Well, I'm out of time. I missed Craig and Michelle. I hope you guys call us back tomorrow. We'll be back at 4 o'clock with KG Mike and X.